Blog Talk Radio.
Gino.
Era notte a Terzil.
It was very late at night.
Setempio piatra far.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lo stan e marata piatra che non fo la mini.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars.
După mine și aici.
So I thought they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină.
But it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit.
The light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde îmi plec acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va arde.
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
De ce m-ai dus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce-ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And then one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
What will you do with me, I said?
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and although this is not a live program, it is recorded so close to it, it might as well be. Family time is important. I think with the chaos going on in the world, it gets more important with each passing day. Look, don't neglect your family, don't neglect your kids, don't neglect your wife, don't neglect your husband, because it's one of these things where I've been noticing a pattern. I notice patterns easily, and the pattern that I've been noticing is that the enemy is going after family. He has been for a very long time, but now people in ministry, people who've been in ministry for decades, are writing in letters. They're sending me emails asking for prayer because their family's falling apart. And it's one of the most painful things that I could think of. And I can't even bear to put myself in their shoes. It's a horrible thing to live through, seeing one's family being torn asunder. Be proactive. Do what you must to ensure that the enemy has no way in, that the enemy has no means by which to attack you. It's one of those rules to live by. And if I can make it so I spend a little more time with my kids in the evening, then I do so. But like I said, It's a fresh recording, and boy, oh boy, has it been an interesting week, has it not? We're going to get into all of that. Look, I remember even back when I was in Romania, my uncle had a television. It was black and white. We never had a television when we were living in Romania, but my uncle did. And so I'd walk home from school, and on certain days, the communist propagandists would stop, glorying in the beauty of communism long enough to put on some Tom and Jerry cartoons. And I remember, even back then, wondering to myself, why does that silly cat keep stepping on the rake and hitting itself in the face over and over and over again? It's a long story. One time I overstayed at my uncle's and I got a spanking from my grandfather for it because they didn't know where I was and they'd gotten worried. And as I was coming down the hill, my grandfather was riding his bike up the hill. And that, to the best of my recollection, is the first and last, the only time my grandfather ever gave me a spanking. It hurt not because it was painful, but because it was grandpa and he'd never done it before. I mean, my grandma, she was a spanker. I think in today's climate, to be perfectly honest with you, chances are better than good that my grandmother would be arrested if she continued today what she did, 30, 40 years ago. She was a spanker, it's how she grew up. She didn't relish it, but she didn't hold back, if you know what I mean. Grandpa was not that sort. Grandpa was more of a come here, let me talk to you sort of guy. He was a very peaceful man. And it was shocking that it was him who spanked me. It wasn't the pain of the belt. It was the shock that I'd done something so horrible that it warranted a spanking from my grandfather. And you know what? I was never late home again. It's one of those childhood memories. But back to the original reason that I was sharing this, Tom and Jerry and the rake. How many times do you have to step on a rake before you realize you're just hurting yourself more? How many times does the handle have to smack you in the face before you go, all right, maybe we should try a different tact. Maybe we should try a different avenue. I'm sure you've all heard it because it's been the news for the last 48 or so hours. Congress has started an impeachment inquiry, as far as Nancy Pelosi says. I don't think she had any other choice. Nancy Pelosi's a political animal. She understood what was going on better than the freshman class of the House. But she got so pressured that she had no choice but to do something against her instinct. And now we're beginning to see it unravel, and it's unraveling very quickly. This is not like the Russia thing where it took 3 years for everything to be aired out, where it took 3 years for all the evidence to come to light. This is a very concentrated sort of implosion. Less than a week, this whole thing just fell apart. At first, the White House was being accused of not releasing the transcripts. They released the transcripts. Now, apparently, the leaker's information says that the transcripts were so well hidden, nobody's going to ever find. It's just a circus. It is an absolute circus. And look, I talked about this, when was it? Back during the second meeting with North Korea. Every time this president does something noteworthy, every time this president does something that any other president would be heralded for the next 6 months, some whistleblower, secret document, allegation comes out. This coincided with Donald Trump's speech at the UN. And if you haven't read the transcript, I think it would be a good use of your time to sort of see how many points the man hit. One of the most important ones for us as believers was the need for religious freedom and highlighting the fact that Christians are being persecuted now more than in the last, 100 years, 150 years, whenever Christian persecution was, the talk of the town. It's getting to the point where, look, if the only one defending Christianity and Christians being persecuted is Donald Trump, that's a sad state for the church, because we should be highlighting the fact that Christians are being tortured, Christians are being killed, Christians are being imprisoned, churches are being bulldozed. But we choose to turn a blind eye. We choose to be silent, and it takes somebody like him to say, hey, you know what? I'm sounding the alarm. Christians are being killed. And if we continue to remain silent, if we continue to ignore the problem in other nations, I guarantee you laws will be passed, legislation will be passed, where you yourself will either be silenced or persecuted. The devil doesn't sleep. And this is one of those things that we seem to forget every generation or so. Oh, yeah, bank account's full. Church building annex is on track. You know, what have we to be concerned about? Well, open your eyes. Be aware of what's happening around you. Understand that they are more than happy to let you have your new church building annex, your new pews, whatever it is that the new thing is now, the big screens and the fog machines, while they work in the shadows trying to implement legislation that will silence the household of faith. And I guarantee you, and this is the thing that's heart-wrenching, it's sickening, there will be some calling themselves Christians just, shrugging their shoulders. It's the law. We can't talk against sin anymore. It's the law. We can't talk against perversion anymore. It's the law. Look, light doesn't cease to be light just because darkness makes itself known. Light becomes all that more brilliant. It becomes all that more of a focal point once darkness becomes complete. And we're getting to that point. I feel as though I'm repeating myself because we've been discussing these things for years on end. And there hasn't been any movement towards the positive as far as the westernized church is concerned or the churches in the West is concerned. There are plans in the works to make preaching the Bible. That's it. Not adding anything to it, not being hyperbolic, not exaggerating, but simply quoting scripture within a church setting. That's it. They will want to make that illegal because it's offensive to some. Look, truth is always offensive to those living in deception. There's no way around it. I think this is why this particular president is so reviled by a certain number of people, because he doesn't care how it lands. He doesn't care about the optics. He knows what he knows, and he's going to tell you about it. But if you go through his speech at the UN, it was an excellent speech. It hit every note it was supposed to hit. And yet, what was the big news throughout all of this? Impeachment inquiry by the House Democrats. has been approved. Now, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but in order to impeach a sitting president, there needs to be evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors. And I think it was a brilliant strategic move to release the transcripts of the phone call that Donald Trump had with the new president of Ukraine. There's no there. There was no quid pro quo. There wasn't, hey, do me a favor. I need to, you know, torpedo this guy. So find me some dirt on him, wink, wink, and then, you know, we'll work it out. Look, there was an investigation that was started in Ukraine by a prosecutor. Now, the subject of the investigation was none other than Joe Biden's son, who apparently is, I guess, a undercover genius, because with all his foibles, he seemed to have gotten a hefty paycheck from a Ukrainian company just to sit on their board. Wouldn't you like to make, what, $50,000, $80,000 a month? A month for just having your name attached to a company? Wouldn't that be a sweet deal? How come, because this is why I harp on this, because I'm seeing the same sort of corruption here that I despised in my own country. Look, for a season, not long ago, the wife and I were debating whether we would stay in Romania or stay in the U.S. It was a serious conversation that we were having back and forth. We laid out a list of the pros and cons. And one of the biggest reasons that I decided not to stay in Romania and come to the U.S. permanently and raise my kids here was the abject corruption in government. It tilted the scale for me, because I'm okay anywhere. I love my home country, even though, you know, there's still dirt roads and people riding horse carts. You know, cows walking down the middle of the street at 4 p.m. when they get to go home from, you know, the pasture. I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with it. But the thing that tipped it for me was the abject corruption, people being above the law, where the law wasn't equal for everyone. And what angers me is that I'm seeing the same thing happening here in this country, and it ought not to be so. Look, when you have John Kerry's kid and Joe Biden's kid starting a company from scratch and becoming multimillionaires overnight because they're getting deals from China and Ukraine and everywhere Vice President Biden had, you know, some sort of influence, let's say, it's troublesome. It's very troublesome. And it's one of those things that apparently the media doesn't want to deal with. They don't want to talk about. They'd rather bury their head in the sand and just, you know, la, 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 there's nothing here. Well, there's something there, because a prosecutor in Ukraine was looking into this. He was looking into allegations of corruption. And wouldn't you know it, and this is recorded. This is Joe Biden himself admitting it, talking about it, bragging about it. He withheld $1 billion, or at least threatened to withhold $1 billion in loans to Ukraine until this prosecutor looking into his son's business was fired. Tell me how we explain this one away. Tell me how we justify this one. But see, the enemy of the people, the man that ought not be anywhere near the seat of power, isn't Joe Biden, it's Donald Trump. He's the one that's hated. And all the man said is, hey, There's a rumor going around, and Joe's been bragging that he got a prosecutor fired. Can you look into that for me? That was it. It wasn't, hey, if you do this, wink, wink, I give you some money. The president of Ukraine came out and said, nobody pushed me, nobody forced me, nobody coerced me, nobody promised me quid pro quo-ness. But they don't care about that. They are so single-minded in their hatred and vitriol that Nancy Pelosi came out and accused the president of treason before they even saw the transcripts. And now it's all coming out. And you know what? The Democrat Party not looking so good. But they're going to keep pushing because they've got nothing else. They're going to keep stepping on the rake and stepping on the rake and stepping on the rake because they have no agenda. They have no new ideas. The whole dividing the country because of racism didn't seem to work, because when people have jobs and they can put food on the table, the allegation of somebody being racist towards you kind of, you know, no, they weren't. Everything that is a platform for the Democrat Party is a loser at this point. And this thing with the impeachment is the nail in their coffin. I do believe that they have reached the final straw. They have, as the kids like to say, jumped the shark. And I don't think there's a rebound. There's no coming back from this. And in the process, the one guy they thought might have a shot at winning 2020 has been, let's just say, hobbled at best. Look, I don't know, with everything that's coming out, how Joe Biden stays in the race for much longer. And so what we're left with is the great Indian hope, Elizabeth Warren. And as I've stated before, as I've mentioned before, as I've pointed out before, they're going through this debate season only to see who the last man standing is to go through the meat grinder that is a debate with Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump and Joe Biden are relatively the same age, you can see the difference in energy. You can see the difference in synaptic activity, if you will, between the two men. And I promised myself that I wouldn't get into these things, but this is the news of the day. We have to be aware of what's going on around us, because if we continue to just close our eyes and pretend as though things aren't happening, it will only get worse. I read an article, and I'm going to go through it a little bit, because this is where we're at. This is what the silence of the church begets us. The Mattel doll company has just come out with a gender-neutral doll. That is correct, kids. Transgender dolls now. Let that sink in. If you don't think that they're attempting to propagandize your children at every turn, then you're not paying attention. If you don't believe that there's an agenda being pushed on the general populace, and it's an agenda that's being resisted by the majority. But see, every news report is glowing. You had an autistic 9-year-old boy stripping in front of perverts, and somehow they spun this into a feel-good story. Pedophiles were throwing dollar bills at this autistic boy while he was dancing on stage. And the natural inclination of a normal human being is repulsion when they see that. You cannot help but be repulsed when you see grown men licking their lips and throwing dollar bills at a 9-year-old boy dressed up as a girl. But the media spun it in such a way where, oh, look, he's so brave to be himself. No. No, there's perverts throwing money at an autistic boy. This is not about bravery. This is about descending into a darkness heretofore unseen in modern civilization. This is about trying to normalize the abnormal. And once that's set into place, once the abnormal has been normalized, guess what? Normality will be considered the anomaly. So what is historically normal becomes the abnormality, and what was abnormal up until that point becomes the new normal. So the Mattel toy company behind Barbie, of all things, is looking to make doll play more inclusive with the launch of a new gender-neutral line of dolls. Again, let that sink in. Who plays with dolls? Preteens, toddlers, girls, my daughter's age play with dolls. My daughter's 5 years old. Imagine the confusion that you begin to create, the seeds of confusion that you begin to plant in the minds of children as young as 3, 4, and 5, when you start putting out gender-neutral dolls. It doesn't look like a boy. It doesn't look like a girl. It looked like something in between. But, mommy, aren't there only boys and girls? Oh, no, no, that's what everybody thought for the last 10,000 years. But we're smarter than everybody now. So now gender is a construct, and it's fluid, and it's a spectrum. That's what it is. It's a spectrum. But aren't there only X chromosomes and Y chromosome? No, that's fake science. Global warming's real science. But, you know, biology, that's fake science now. When mentally ill individuals, because there's no other way I can put it, when you take mental illness and you begin to praise it, validate it, embrace it, encourage it, and push it on the young, you're only going to have an exponential expansion of this mental illness. Because, hey, that 9-year-old autistic boy is on every TV channel just because he put on some lipstick and put on a dress. Why can't you be more like the amazing whatever his name is? Why can't mommy be brave and on TV too? Do you understand that there are people in this world, there are people in this nation that care not a whit about their children's welfare or mental well-being? The only thing they care about is their own popularity. The only thing they care about is perhaps getting on a talk show and being told how brave they are. This is the me generation coming into adulthood. All those goofy people making the duck faces and posting endless pictures of themselves. They're having children now. And they still want the spotlight. They still want to be appreciated. And because they have no skills, because they don't excel in anything, because there is nothing remarkable about them, they'll throw a wig and a dress on their little boy, pump him full of hormones, and drag him on TV talk shows to prove how brave they are. And again, I know, broken record, Mike, you've been talking about this forever, and I'm still going to talk about it because it's that important. Where is the church? Where's the household of faith that should be standing up and going, hold on, this is ridiculous. This is insane. Call it what it is. It's insanity. Look, who was it? Dr. Ben Carson, the most mild-mannered man in the world, got in trouble because he said that he prefers to focus on single mothers and their safety rather than transgender individuals. Because just go with me on this. Listen to this. Listen to the delusion that we've descended into. There are transgender people complaining that they're not allowed in battered women's shelters. So you have a woman that was abused by her husband, her boyfriend, somebody, to the point where she took her child or children and ran off with the clothing on her back. She seeks the safety of a battered women's shelter. And now you have men who don't have to prove that they're women because they can't. The only thing they do is say, I identify as a woman. And once they identify as a woman, they file complaints for not being allowed into battered women's shelters. This is the lunacy that we've descended into. Nobody seems to want to talk about it because we don't want to offend people. Yeah, we should. We should offend more people. That's going to be my new motto. Who have you offended today? Because if they're living a delusion and they're offended at the truth you speak into their life, then you know what? You did a good thing. You don't have to be crass about it. You don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be angry about it. But speak the truth. There's no such thing. Biology is cut and dry. It doesn't matter how many people get on television and say, well, I feel a lot of ways. This morning, I feel pain. My foot is killing me. And even though I could say I don't feel pain, guess what? I still do. I'm just lying to myself. It's how much more of this can we take as a society before we fracture completely? How much more of this can the church take before it says enough? Personally, I think we're far past that point. We should have been a long time ago. And the insanity just keeps on escalating and keeps on escalating. And every time you turn around, there's something new. And now, yes, Mattel, the makers of Barbie, are making a doll that will be more inclusive. And by this, they mean gender neutral. The creatable world line allows children to unlock their imagination by styling and dressing their doll as they wish. The six initial character kits released by Mattel on Wednesday contain a gender-neutral doll with short hair and several customizable clothes and accessories to create different looks. Now, 10, 12, 15 years ago, when some of us started sounding the alarm, saying, hey, they're coming after your kids. We were called bigots, haters, unloving. And it wasn't by the world, it was by people in the church. You have to try to understand. They're not going to come for your children, silly. Really. Let's look at the aggregate data, shall we? There is an ongoing, concerted, and well-funded push to normalize pedophilia. That is the last. That's the last thing to be crossed off. After that, you've had the zoophiles, but you know, I'm sure they'll become the staple within 5 years. So you have a push to normalize pedophilia. You have people high up in government, especially in England for some reason, that are lobbying for the age of consent to be eradicated. Nobody's calling these people out on the lunacy. Nobody's saying, hey, on the one hand, we're killing our kids. On the other, you're advocating for the age of consent to be done away with. Perhaps you're not mentally all there. Perhaps we should have you checked. And the scary thing is that more and more people are being either neutral about it or accepting of it. I don't talk about these things because I like talking about them. I talk about these things because I have to talk about them. It makes my skin crawl. Anytime I hear of pederasty, of pedophiles, of pedophilia, and look, Catholic Church, non-Catholic Church, there's powerful people in government today, even in the U.S., that have this cloud of pedophilia hanging over them. There are whispers throughout regarding these people. And anytime I hear anything about it, it creates a visceral anger in me. Because I'd like to think I'm a normal human being who believes that children, innocent and defenseless, need to be the first on the list to be defended and protected. Plus, because I have kids of my own. And to think that someone would hurt either of my daughters in any way, it's beyond anything I can vocalize or verbalize. But we need to discuss these things because if we don't, we can continue pretending as though they don't exist. The church has become very good at pretending there is no crisis. The church has become very good at pretending there is no darkness descending upon the world. The church has become very good at pretending that these things that are going on are harmless fun. What, a cross-dresser coming to teach and you know, read story time to the kids in the church sanctuary? It's just harmless fun. Tickle time with a transgender? Harmless fun. It's not. Look at the studies. Most people, a high percentage of those that self-identify as transgender have a propensity for younger victims. And yes, I call them victims. They have a propensity, an inclination towards pedophilia. And you have churches opening their doors wide saying, come on in. Read to our children. Play tickle with them. But hey, if somebody wants to come and preach the gospel in that same church, I'm sorry, your message might offend some of our more liberal-minded members. So, you know, no, you can't come speak at our church. I'm sorry. It would, you know, it would just, you know, it wouldn't go well with the new road we're going down. We're trying to rebrand ourselves. We realize that whole, you know, fire and brimstone, gloom and doom, holiness preaching doesn't attract the crowds. And if it does attract people, it's usually, you know, people with large families, and they don't have a lot of disposable income. And so the tithing suffers. There's a lack in the tithe. But if we open our doors to the mentally ill, if we're inclusive and we wave rainbow flags from our church spires, well, those people will come. And you know what? They don't have kids. And so they have more disposable income. And they're givers. As long as we push their agenda, as long as we validate their abomination, as long as, you know, we wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hey, have some tickle time in church while wearing a dress, Bobby. They open their wallets and we're able to build the new annex. So what you're telling me is that we're willing to sell our children's innocence, betray the word of God, turn our backs on Christ for the sake of filthy lucre. We're willing to betray Christianity just so Fox 7 or Fox 5 or Fox 56 does a positive expose on our congregation. Amidst a sea of bigoted, loveless individuals, we found one church that is head and shoulders above the rest. Their new transgender pastor has now implemented a new scholastic endeavor, understanding transgenderism and why gay is okay. By the way, I'm not making this up, because I know it sounds like an onion piece. No, a Methodist church. Oh, no, Baptist, because the Methodists have been doing it for a long time. This is the first time a Baptist church hired on a transgender pastor, transitioning, I don't know, from he to she or she to he. Who knows anymore? But yes, a Baptist church is now on the cutting edge of progressivism. They hired a transgender pastor. And there were, I think there were 16 other, like, qualified pastors in the running that applied for the job. And the board of this particular Baptist church saw fit to deny 15 men, pastors, qualified individuals with families, the pulpit, in lieu of one person with a mental illness. Bravo. Bravo. So, if you think ignoring the problem will make it go away, it won't. If you think not confronting the darkness will make the darkness circumvent you or go around you or leave you alone, it won't. Look, understand that these people are doing all these things while not in power. Imagine how quick the transition. Imagine how absolute the laws. Imagine what it would be like if they held power. Imagine how quickly you would no longer be able to gather to pray. Imagine how quickly you would no longer be able to go to church on Sunday morning because they teach hate. Yeah, that's what they call it. Preaching the gospel today is tantamount to preaching hate. And so, if ever, God forbid, they have absolute power, if ever, God forbid, they have absolute control, the only churches that will be allowed to survive, the only churches that will be allowed to flourish, are the inclusive ones. The ones with the transgender pastors and the rainbow flags, the ones that are godless, that know nothing of Scripture, that know nothing of doctrine, that know nothing of holiness or righteousness. Because you know what? Even during the harshest times of communism in Romania, in my country, there were state-approved churches. Yeah! There were churches that the state approved of. Yes, go here. But you know what they all had in common? Their shepherds did not teach the truth. Their shepherds praised the virtues of communism. Their shepherds tried to intertwine the message of Christ with the message of socialism. And I've heard it. I've heard it with my own ears from people that run congregations of thousands and multiple thousands. If Jesus was alive today, he'd be a socialist. See the world for what it is. Not what you hope it is, but see it for what it is. And understand that time is running out. Understand that you only have a season yet to work. Because night is coming. And if Jesus said that no man can work when night comes, I have to take him at his word. It's all right, I'll buy a flashlight. I don't think it'll help you. I've got candles. I've got a generator. I don't think that'll help you either. Because Jesus said, work while it's day, because the night is coming. And when the night comes, no man can work. Look, I understand that there's a propensity, especially in our modern era, to think that we know better than God. I understand that there's a propensity, especially in our modern era, to think that even though God says one thing, he either didn't really mean it, or he was exaggerating, or he wasn't talking about you. Well, I know Jesus said no man can work when night comes, but he hasn't met me yet. Yeah, he has. He knew you from before you were born. He counts the hairs on your head. So if he said that even you, high and mighty as you might think yourself, can't work when night comes, take it to heart. It's the truth. So how long are we going to put off doing something? Until the night comes? Is that when we will finally awaken and say, hey, we should do something? Nope. By then it's too late. The night will have already arrived. and your ability to work will have been finished. So, according to the Creatable World website, the doll line is designed to keep labels out and invite everyone in. Sort of like the new churches. Let's keep labels out and invite everyone in. Because the more people come, the more tithe checks we'll get. When church becomes solely about money, when we prioritize the amount in the offering basket over men's souls, it's time to stop calling ourselves a church, first of all. And second of all, it's time to prepare ourselves for the judgment of God. There is no plainer way that I can put it. When we begin to prioritize the world's acceptance, the world's validation, the world's embrace, the world's baubles over truth, judgment is only a matter of time. It's not an if, it's a when. And if the Word of God tells us that judgment begins in the house of God, we must realize that first, there is something in the house of God worth judging. And that's one of the things that we have to come to grips with. If judgment begins in the house of God, then there is something in the house of God that's worth judging. Because God knows all things. He knows the intent of the heart. He knows the purpose of man. And sadly, tragically, the purpose of the church in recent years has become growth for the sake of growth, rather than equipping saints to do battle against the darkness. And it begins so subtly. It's just subtle shifts. Well, you know, we won't talk about this because it offends this person. And we won't talk about that because it offends that person. Well, if we tweak the message just a little bit, we may have more of a following on Facebook. If we stop quoting scripture Sunday morning, then people who have an aversion to it may come and listen. Compromising truth is a slippery slope. And we've been compromising truth for so long that this is where we've come to. A Baptist church hired a transgender pastor to teach them the ways of the Lord. So, a person who by their actions insists that God made a mistake. A person who by their actions insists that God was wrong and that they know better was placed in a position of authority over the sheep of God's pasture. How do you think that's going to work out? How confused and lost and utterly disillusioned do you think that flock's going to be within the next, I don't know, year, year and a half? Because if you don't believe that God is sovereign, then you're not going to teach his ways. You're going to teach your ways because you consider yourself a little God. Hey, you up there in the sky. You gave me the wrong body, but I'll fix it. Hey, you up there in the sky. You said, be holy for I am holy, but you know what? I got a better idea. So, even though this week has been humorous, to say the least, as far as the politics of this nation is concerned, I am still profoundly troubled by the corruption that has become evident. It's evident. It's plain. It's out there for everyone to see. Because if it's happening here too, then it's happening everywhere. So I cannot be too exuberant. I cannot rejoice in any fashion. Because as of today, September the 26th, 2019, the church is still blissfully unaware, asleep and doing nothing. The corrupt are still walking around free. And the darkness continues to grow. So this is where we are. Watch and pray, kids. Watch and pray. But see, in order for someone to watch, their eyes must be open. And not only must their eyes be open, they need to be facing in the right direction. Because even those that are watching in the church seem to have done a 180 and they're watching the person behind them. Oh, look, he scratched his nose. Look, he's chewing gum. Look, he cut his hair. That's not what you're supposed to be watching for. But that's another story for another time. So it seems, oh, wow, that was a quick hour, wasn't it? Our time is up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. We will do another question and answer at some point. So if you have any questions, please send them in. Until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. Gino, if you've got anything to say, now would be the time.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much. Just letting everyone know that Michael will be speaking at the Hear the Watchman conference in Orange County, California, October 10th to the 13th. And you can go to the handtohelp.com website, and you can find out more about that. And then I just wanted to let you know also that Mike will be speaking here in Wisconsin the 1st October. Let me get the date here. It's the 6th of October at Rockwood Church, and that is at W271. S2929 Merrill Hills Road in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Again, that's October 6th. They open their doors at the church at 9:30 a.m. And you are welcome to come to those events. We will let you know about other events and speaking and music arrangements. Also, please try to check out Mike's blog, Homeward Bound. He really is trying to address these issues, and it's been very good and pertinent, as Mike said. So important for Christians to wake up, be proactive, and stand up, because as Mike said today, the window will shut, doors will shut, persecution will come, it will be intense. And as Mike said, we got to work while it's day, for soon the night comes when no man can work. So thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast, and have a great day.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.